Do you know that you can be, and look at it in all caps, just a Christian? What does that mean? Well, I hope by the time you leave today, you'll have some understanding of what we're trying to say and what we're trying to be here at this church and in this place, and that is to just be a Christian. Let's take a minute and look at that text. Here's the issue right here. The church had started. Paul writes a letter to the church in Corinth. In fact, this church was probably less than 18 months old. Brand new church in the city of Corinth. And Paul says that God is faithful, to whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's a great introduction. In my Bible, the paragraph marking starts in verse 10, but it sure looks like verse 9 is a part of it. He says to that church, look, you've been over there in paganism, you've been a part of Judaism and all those laws and sundry things that were part of Judaism, and now you've given it all up and you've come into the fellowship. And it is the fellowship of being a part of the divine plan of God. And he says, that's Jesus. That's Jesus the Christ. That's the word Messiah. And that's Jesus the Lord. And underline that word Lord in this context, because that's what they had forgotten to do. He says, I beseech you by the mercies of God in verse 10, that you all speak the same thing. Uh-oh, what's happened? Church has started. Church has just begun. And already they're trying to divide up into sections in the church. You know, what do you call a section in the church religiously? Well, you could call it sectarianism. I don't know if you know that word or not. It's a word that you would have heard in times past more often, but just a section of the church. And he says, hang on a minute. That's not what God had in mind. By the mercies of God, the very thing that's caused you to leave Judaism and paganism and to turn your life over to Jesus Christ, based on His mercy, I beseech you that every one of you speak exactly the same thing. Be no divisions among you, but that you be completely joined together, having the same mind and the same judgment. Does that sound like the religious world today? All speak the same thing and being of the same mind and the same judgment? It's rather odd that these words addressed a problem that was in that infant church there in Corinth. But my, oh my, what a message for us today, where we are so divided religiously. And so he said, now here's what I'm talking about. It's been declared in me by those of the house of Chloe that, get the text up there, that's slide number two, that there's divisions among you. And he says that there are divisions among you. And some of you are saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Well, that's amazing, isn't it? I'm a Christian. What kind of Christian are you? Well, I'm a little bit better Christian than you are, because I'm a Paul Christian. And somebody else, well, I'm a Cephas Christian. And evidently, some of these individuals were saying, you know who baptized me? Apollos baptized me, or Cephas baptized me, or Paul baptized me, and therefore, I'm a little bit better than you. My being a Christian, a section of the church, a sectarian part of the church, makes me a little bit better than you. And he says, that's not what God had in mind. And the argument that he makes in that passage is, was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in Paul's name? What's he saying? If Paul wasn't crucified for you, why on earth would you wear any name other than the name Christian? Why would you want to be a Paul Christian? Why would you want to be a Cephas Christian? What you guys need to do is to just give up all these ideas that you have of I'm this kind of a Christian and I'm that kind of a Christian, and go back and be just Christians. That's what this lesson is all about. We're going to talk about what's happening in the religious world, and you'll see this as it all develops. And so he says, you need to be united, same mind, same judgment, everybody speaking exactly the same. Now think of the importance of this lesson, because here's the kinds of questions that are asked. Religiously, what are you religiously? Well, I'm a Christian. And then the statement, what kind of Christian are you? That'd be a difficult question to ask the church when it first started. You might have been able to ask it there in Corinth, where they were already trying to divide and say, I'm this kind of a Christian. And they were strongly rebuked for being that thing. Paul wasn't crucified. Why on earth would you wear the name of Paul? Why would you not, by the mercies of God, wear that name? The latter chapters of Isaiah, God said, I'll give you the new name. And so Peter says, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, if any man suffer as a Christian, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, let him glorify God in this name, the name Christian. What kind of Christian are you? What do people mean when they say that? Well, religiously, we divide folks up into different groups. Take the sectarian names, the sectarian things that develop, and now all of a sudden you've got you divide them into larger groups. For example, are you a Catholic? Are you a Protestant? Well now, wait a minute. If you're a Christian, and what kind of Catholic Christian are you? Are you Roman Catholic? Are you Anglican Catholic? Are you Orthodox Catholic, Greek Catholic, Russian Catholic? Something's wrong, isn't there? Something has really, really changed from what God had in mind. And you get over in Protestantism, it's not any better. Protestantism comes about because there were those who were protesting against Catholicism, and so now then, well, what are you? And so all of a sudden here, all of the names of the Protestant churches that developed, and then the Protestant churches themselves developed, just split up. Ever heard of a Southern Baptist, a Primitive Baptist, an American Baptist? What's happened? Well, here is that division, and so you got the Primitives, and then you got the Reforms. Some of the churches talk about, the church really drifted so far, and so we're still, and I'm not, look, I want you to understand, I know a lot of good folks that are in some of these churches. I'm not angry at them. I'm just trying to say it so you'll understand it. You can walk out of here this morning and think, it makes a lot of sense. We just need to be Christians. And so here's the what was happening up in Holland. And so you had the Dutch Catholic Church. It was a part, and then all of a sudden they reformed the Dutch Catholic Church. So you got the Reformed Church. Comes out of the Scandinavian countries. And what kind of a Christian are you? Well, if you're a Reformed, are you Dutch Reformed? You're some other kind of Reformed. What about, are you Amish? You understand what's happening in the religious world? I want you to know that the whole purpose of this lesson is to try to convince every one of us that we can just be Christians. We're not talking about being interdenominational Christian. We're not talking about, and you can throw in any name of any religious person, any religious group or movement in there. Here's what we're trying to say is that look how much better one is than the other. Oh no, Christ is all that matters, and being Christ's church is all that matters. And so let's quit this matter of being divided religiously. Well, how did this come about? You've got to answer that, but you've got to recognize that if you Google and ask Google how many different Christian denominations are there in America, you ready for this number? It's on the screen there, 20,000. 20,000 sections of Christianity. Is that what God had in mind? Remember the text? Every one of you speak the same thing, and don't you say, I'm a Paul kind of Christian. I'm a Cephas Christian. I'm an Apollos Christian. Don't you be any of those things. And yet that's what's happened. How on earth did that, how did all of this come about? Well, let me introduce the answer to that question by first asking the question, what kind of Christian was Paul? What kind of Christian was Timothy? What kind of Christian, and you pick any New Testament character that you want, what kind of Christians were there? There weren't any kinds. If you think about that, they were just Christians. You take somebody from that first century and bring them into the 20th century, and you'd say, what kind of a Christian are you? They wouldn't have a clue what you're talking about. I'm just a Christian. I know what being a Christian is. And so that's what we're trying to say, is to house every one of us to leave here today with an understanding of you can be just a Christian in this world that is so reduced, divided. Another way to ask it is, what denomination was established back there? When Jesus said, I'll build my church, what denomination was established? Which one of them? And you just pick any of the names we've mentioned, or 19,993 other names that we could mention. Which of those 20,000, what denomination was there back there? Let me ask a question another way. If the Apostle Paul came to West Palm Beach, what denomination would he establish here in this country, in this city? You see the difference? I hope that you're getting a mindset of the fact that you can be just a Christian. But to understand this, we're going to have to spend a little bit of time looking at church history. And so let's talk a little bit about historically what's happened since that first century. When it all began, Jesus just built the one church. He said, Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build the church. And on the Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, that's when that church began. It's the birthday of the church. They were gathered in Jerusalem, and the gospel of Christ was revealed through the Holy Spirit that fell on the apostles that day. And that day, 3,000 of them were joined, added unto them. And that's Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and verse 47. It said, and every day after that, there were others who were joined to them. Joined to who? Joined to what? Joined to the church. They were just Christians. And the Lord said, and so then what happened was that persecution came on the church. And as persecution came on the church began to spread. That which looked to have really been something that was adversity now becomes a blessing, because now those Christians who were there in Jerusalem now began to get scattered. Now, when they went to other cities, what denomination did they start? I mean, they started a denomination. They just got in these new places and they said, let me tell you what God's doing on this earth. And they could tell you what had happened there in Jerusalem, the message they had heard, and of the church that had begun there. And they could begin to tell other people about that church. Wasn't a denomination, just the church. And then as you think about how that developed, you would recognize that every church in every place was the same church. I mean, you look at a map. Jesus said, you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem. Okay, Judea, yep, they left sprint from Jerusalem out to Judea. To Samaria, yeah, Acts chapter 8 tells about the churches in Samaria. And to the uttermost parts of the earth. And the book of Acts tells about that spread of that church. Specifically looking at the life of Paul. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, that everywhere I go to establish the church. That first missionary journey went up into Turkey, went to Cyprus, went up into Turkey. The second missionary journey, he left Asia Minor, went over into Europe. And he says, everywhere I go, I preach exactly the same thing. What denomination are you establishing, Paul? I'm not establishing a denomination. I'm just putting the church there. The one that Jesus... And so that's why there's this importance of today's lesson. As we talk about what kind of Christians does God want? But changes did come about. We talked about church history. You know what happened? Changes did come about. They came about rather slowly at first, and then more in the last 300 years has just been rampant in the amount of division there has been. But we need to understand that at first, every single church had elders. Acts chapter 4 and verse 14 and verse 23 says that Paul established those churches and ordained elders in every church. And when there were churches that did not have elders, Paul left Titus. Titus chapter 1 verse 5 on the island of Crete, and says, now you set in order the things that are lacking. You appoint elders there. Now, those elders We're just shepherds, overseers, pastors who just looked after the church. But they had, listen, they had no authority over the local church. You want to know how this religious division came about? It came about because there has developed, in that slow process in those first several hundred years of the church, of their developing a church hierarchy. Hierarchy. And that is organizations that are above the local church that seek to control the things that are happening in all of those other churches. And so over the next 300 years, the local churches cease to be local in that sense. And so they begin to be ruled by the church hierarchy. And so you study church history and all of a sudden there are five big churches. Church in Jerusalem, church in Antioch, church in Istanbul, Constantinople, that up there, church down in Alexandria in Egypt, and the church in Rome. And so now what you're having is just area churches and rulers and a church hierarchy that develops regionally. And as it develops regionally, then those big churches and those highest elders in those churches, those bishops in those churches, begin to meet together, and they finally said, why don't we elect a universal head over all of the church? And so in 606 BC, many of those churches elected an earthly head. He was in the city of Rome. And that change brought about doctrinal changes that was dictated by church hierarchy. And that hierarchy then became, instead of just local congregations directly relating to Jesus, the hierarchy got in the way. And changes doctrinally began to come about. Wait a minute. You mean you can't even wear names other than the name of Christ? What about changing the worship? What about changing the plan of salvation? What about changing the most fundamental parts of Christianity? You study church history, and that's not our lesson. We can spend a whole lot of time, and I don't want to spend too much time in this part of the lesson, and I'm concerned about it. But what happened was those changes came about. And so coming out of that church hierarchy was the doctrinal changes that came about. Over the first 600 years, until there was finally a universal head in the city of Rome as the head of the church, he was called the Pope. And the doctrine that came about was that the church itself, talking about that universal church, that Catholic church, that's what the word Catholic means, is universal. And so here's that universal church that many had given allegiance to. And so they began to recognize that there was the authority that was there in the city of Rome, and it was greater authority than the authority Jesus had. I want you to hear that. Jesus said before he left this earth, Matthew 28, verse 18, all authority has been given unto me. If all authority belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, how much authority is there to be in any church hierarchy? You got to hear that. If all of the authority there is vested in Jesus Christ, then when denominations form and headquarters are not just found in Rome but found in other places, and there is that structure, county organization, state organization, national organization, international organization, how much authority do they have? Jesus' original plan was for the church to be established with local elders who have none of that authority. In fact, whatever authority an elder might have, it's not the Greek word exousia. That word is only given to Jesus Christ. And so no man has any right to decide exactly what church was. And so it, with the church being viewed in that way, then the church itself says, look, we have the power to forgive your sins. Where'd that come from? I thought I had sinned against Jesus. And the one that I have offended is the one who can forgive me. And there's no one in between. Jesus is my mediator. He's my intercessor. He's my high priest. And there's no room for church hierarchy to be there. But coming out of that was, over the next several hundred years, if you've committed sin, you've got to go to the church hierarchy and confess your sins. In fact, you cannot even have Holy Communion unless you have been to confessions. Where'd that come out? Do you know it's possible to be a Christian and get back before any of this developed? I mean, you stop and think about the fact that there was the doctrine of original sin, of inherited sin, and therefore you gotta baptize infants. Where'd that come about? You read the entire Bible and you'll not find any infant ever being baptized. Where'd all that come about? Church hierarchy? Group of men, cardinals, other individuals came together and said, now this is what we believe about this. And there is that hierarchy that brought in all of these things. Now let me pause long enough to point out the fact that the church that Jesus established was still there. Jesus said, when I build my church, it will always be here, and you're never to make any changes in it. These local congregations, they don't have authority to change anything. And these local churches will always be here. And Matthew 16:19 says, even the gates of hell will not prevail against that church. And so running parallel to that which was the, if you study church history, there is that universal concept of the Catholic Church that was around the world. But I want you to understand that Jesus said, when I build my church, it will always be here, and it will not be the church that says, I am of Paul, I am of Peter, I am of Apollos. And so what did the universal church do? Well, the universal church changed the doctrine about infants, even changed the matter of baptism. Where on earth you ever found about sprinkling water on anybody for the remission of their sins? Where'd that come from? Church hierarchy? It didn't start by going back and just saying, Lord Jesus, tell me about baptism. Tell me who ought to be baptized. I was baptized in the name of Jesus. Tell me in the name of Jesus what baptism is. And they're sprinkling water, and that's called baptism. Where'd all that start about? In these 20,000 religious divisions in America, where'd all that come from? We just borrow it one from another and pass it to another, and to another until that doctrine is so widely believed in what's called mainstream Christianity. Widespread. Where did it all come from? It came out of church hierarchy. And then there was the attempt by that universal church to punish heretics. Have you ever heard of the Spanish Inquisition? That universal church, if you did not obey the dictates that came out of Rome, you were put to death in the most horrendous method because you would not bow down to the authority of the church in Rome. You want to read a book that will absolutely almost make you sick to read the suffering that went on by those individuals who were heretics? Read the book entitled Foxes Book of Martyrs, of people being put in racks and their arms pulled in one way and their legs in another until the arms are pulled out of the sockets and the hip bones are pulled out. And all they would have had to do is said, I bow down to the church hierarchy, and they would have immediately stopped that persecution. They'd come to where the heretics were, they'd board up the building, set the building on fire, and the church would, and that those inside that church building would be incinerated. Why? Because they would not bow down to church hierarchy. Folks, you may not know this. I just encourage you to read church history. Where did this mess come from in which we find ourselves? And how tragic it is that all of these things were happening. And then the thing that really brought about a change in the religious world was the sale of indulgences. The church, because it had the right to forgive sins after they were committed, then said, we have the right to give forgiveness before sins are committed. And St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican was mostly funded by the selling of indulgences, licensed to do sins, and you'll be forgiven even before you commit the sins. That's a matter of history. What happened? Well, the religious world started protesting. In Germany, there was a fellow by the name of Martin Luther, who was a priest in the Catholic Church, and he saw all that was happening in the Catholic Church. And so Martin Luther pulled away many of the Catholic churches in Germany away from the Roman Catholic Church. Tragically, though Luther had said, do not call yourself after my name, call yourself by him who died for you. When he died, those people loved what he had done, and he was such a powerful religious leader, just like we have powerful religious leaders in America today. And the allegiance was more to the powerful writings of Martin Luther than to what the Bible said. And though he started them down a track that says, let's go back to the way it was, when he died, a new denomination had started. Guess what happened to that denomination? There are 6 different kinds of Lutheran churches. Here's the big division, and you get down, and here's division after division. You want to know how you get to 20,000? Go to when Henry VIII is on the throne in London. He wants to get rid of his wife. The Pope will not let him. He said, okay, then I'm going to pull away the Catholic Church in the British Empire. I'm going to pull it away from you. I'm no longer going to recognize the Pope as the religious authority. And in the British Empire, we're going to establish an Anglican and English Catholic Church. Well, how'd that work out? Well, when they came to America, they become the Episcopal Church. And breaking off from the Episcopal Church is another denomination, because the Episcopal Church was two, and you have High Church Episcopal, Low Church Episcopal, and then you've got people pulling away from the Episcopal Church, and now it's divided all over the place. There are Episcopal churches right now in Palm Beach County who are struggling over what are you going to do about homosexuality. But the same thing's happening in the Lutheran Church. How does that come about? Because somehow some men, individually, fail to recognize that it is Jesus who has all authority, and it is Jesus, not church hierarchy, that decides what truth is. And so in many other places, there were those who protested doctrinally, John Calvin, John Wesley. In other places, there were these religious leaders that protested against Catholicism. And so in the major divisions you talk about, well, there are the Catholic Christians and there's the Protestant Christians. Folks, something's got to be wrong. When you look at the Catholic churches and the Protestant churches, and there are 20,000 different religions that have come out of that. Especially true, is that true in America? The mid-1800s and the latter 1800s, all of a sudden, here's the Jehovah's Witnesses. Christians were not called Jehovah's Witnesses in Bible times. They were not even allowed to be called Paul Christians. And yet Rutherford comes along, starts a religion called the Watchtower. Who has not heard of that particular religion? What about the Mormons? Joseph Smith in 1830 talked to an angel, and an angel told him where he could dig up and find the Book of Mormon, and he dug it up and he translated the other Bible for the whole world to use. And the Seventh-day Adventist, the very same thing. Mary Baker Eddy ascended into heaven, and when she got to heaven, she saw the Ten Commandments there, and there was a halo around the Sabbath commandment, and she was able to come back and tell everybody we ought to keep the Sabbath. Where on earth did that come from? What I'm saying is, America has created a mess, and we are reaping the results of it. See if I can illustrate this visually. Look at this picture visually of the church that Jesus started, that yellow line that extends across the screen. From the day of Pentecost, that church has always been here. Jesus says, Matthew 16:19, that even the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What about Ephesians 3:20-21, that says, to him be glory in the church throughout all ages. When the Lord established the church, he knew that the church would always be here. That's not what happened in Christendom. That's not what happened as the church hierarchy developed. Many of those individuals found it more comforting to be involved in a religion that ultimately can give you license to go out and sin. That's how it all came about. But Jesus said, it will always be here. And so you look at the lines that are on the screen, and one that comes down, goes down, and I've got 606 where Boniface III, when finally the church in Jerusalem, the bishop in Jerusalem, the bishop in Antioch, and the bishop in Constantinople, and the bishop in Alexandria down in Egypt, they finally said, okay, we will all bow down. And the first pope was not Peter. The first pope recognized universally by the universal church that was there was Boniface III in 606. Guess what happened? Within 300 or 400 years, even that church began to split. The upper line that is manifested there shows in 1054 exactly what happened. When the Roman church was split into the Eastern church, the Orthodox church, Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, the Orthodox Church, and the Roman Catholic Church just continued going on and changing doctrine until finally the Protestants came along and they said, something is wrong. We are protesting against all of these things that are happening. And so here's Martin Luther comes on the scene. And he headed in the right direction. He saw what was there was wrong. I thank God. There was an attitude in America, not only in Germany, but in Switzerland. A fellow by the name of Zwingli did exactly the same thing. At the same time, Luther was doing the same thing in Germany, saying, look, we've got to get back. We've got to get back. We've got to go back and look, see what the church Jesus built on this earth looks like. But when, as we mentioned before, when Luther died, then that church began to just splinter and splinter and splinter. We don't have time to give all of church history. But just look at the next couple of slides, and that's what's happened. All of these churches came about because religious leaders set up church hierarchy, and they decide what that church believes. And so you get to the community church concept. In our day and age, there is that mother church that has satellite churches all over the place. And the authority rests in the hierarchy of that church. The decisions that are made by the hierarchy of the church. Folks, the only hierarchy there can be in the church is the hierarchy that says Jesus is in charge of this very church. And instead of there being 20,000 denominations, Jesus said, all speak the same thing. But isn't this where we find ourselves? Think about it. Here we are in America, 20,000 different religions around us, and we're trying to find ourselves out of this. Can we call it a denominational maze? You and I need to understand that maze of denomination and religious division results in infidelity. John chapter 17, Jesus prayed that all of his followers might be one, that the world might believe. And when you look at 20,000 different religions, you can believe anything, be a Christian. Within 4 miles of this building is a church that exists specifically so you can be a homosexual Christian. All that is church hierarchy. Some individual, group of individuals says, we're going to decide what's right and what's wrong. But you see, it all began with the same church in every place. It evolved into a world of 20,000 different denominations. And so we refer back to the text. All speak the same thing. No divisions. Perfect unity. Don't ever say, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. Because you start down that road, and John 17 and verse 20 says, I pray that they may be one, those who believe in Jesus may be one. This is the prayer of Jesus. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, that they may be one in us, that the world might believe that thou hast sent me. Where do we find ourselves? Well, our world is a mass religious division. Let me help you come, hopefully, to a biblical understanding of using the seed that was planted in the first century and planting that seed in the 21st century. You know what seed was planted in the first century? Luke chapter 8, verse 11 says, the seed that produces the kingdom is the Word of God. That seed planted in Jerusalem produced Jesus' church. When it went to Judea, that same seed produced Jesus' church. When it went to Samaria, that same seed produced the same church in Jerusalem. When Paul takes his missionary journeys into Cyprus and Asia Minor, he planted the seed. When he goes over into Europe, he plants the same seed. As I preach everywhere in every church, you take seed and it will reproduce itself. What's happened is we live in a religious world that has hybrid seed. Somebody said, I don't know what hybrid seeds are. Well, let me ask you this. What color are the seeds in watermelons? You know the answer to that. Where on earth we got a seedless watermelon? It's a hybrid watermelon. Now, if we understand the difference in a watermelon and a hybrid watermelon, why can we not understand the difference in the church Jesus built by divine authority? And those churches that exist, the seed of division is the words of men. The Word of Christ brings unity in every church, in every place, because it does away with church hierarchy. With some man saying, this is what's right and this is what's wrong. Visitors, you'll never hear folks stand in this pulpit and say, here's what I believe about it. We are determined to be that first century church in the 21st century. To speak where the Bible speaks. And be silent where the Bible is silent. To do Bible things in Bible ways and call Bible things by Bible names. And to plant that same seed that was planted in the first century, to plant it in West Palm Beach. And if you're here this morning, and it just feels different here, I hope you understand the difference is in our devotion. Why do we have the Lord's Supper every Sunday? Because they do it. Why in the 20,000 churches do they have it whenever some pastor or some individual, I think it'd be good to have a communion Sunday. By whose authority? By whose authority can the church say we're going to have it at weddings and funerals and have it every day? By whose authority? By whose authority can you have water in the Lord's Supper? By whose authority can you be a Christian denomination and never have the Lord's Supper? By whose authority? By the authority of church hierarchy. And the elevation of Jesus. He's Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 says, we have fellowship with Jesus Christ, our Lord. And oh, how we need to understand that. You plant the same seed in the 21st century as planted in the first century, you'll get the same results. Let me urge every listener here to put Jesus back as the head of the church and get rid of church hierarchy. And let the authority be found in Jesus without church authority. Look at this final slide. Here's where we are. You can be just a Christian if you go all the way back. Go back before the 21st century. Churches started in this century. Go back before the 20th century, the 19th century, the 18th century. Go back before the time of Luther. Go back before the time of the division in the Roman church into the Eastern church and the Roman church. Go back before the time there was ever Boniface III. Go all the way back and put the church of Jesus Christ that He built on this earth and gave us the seed to plant on this earth, and let us plant together this seed in the 21st century. And be what that sign out front says. This is a church that belongs to Jesus. Folks, you're not going to come here and hear us talk about new morals, new teachings about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, new teachings about the authority, new teachings about anything. It's book, chapter, and verse that will be presented because we're seeking to let Jesus rule this church. There may be tons of questions if you're visiting with us that you have. Let's talk about it afterwards. Let's sit down and see if we can find how it's possible to be just a Christian. When people say, Dan, what are you religiously? I say, I'm a Christian. And when they say, what kind? I say, a pretty good one. Not perfect, but that's what I'm trying to be. And that's what this church is. People who travel great distances to come and to assemble here every week and have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Lord Jesus Christ, and have fellowship with each other. That's what Jesus had in mind. Now then, the church began on the day of Pentecost, and you can be added to that church just like they were on the day of Pentecost. They believed in Jesus, for because, you know, John 3:16 says to be saved, you've got to believe in Jesus. They repented of their sins. They changed their heart. They changed their minds. They changed their lives. And when they confessed their faith in Jesus, Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, they were immersed in water that the Lord might wash away his sins when they're baptized into his death where his blood was shed. And their sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus. And the church that Jesus added those individuals to in the first century is the same church he will add you to in the 21st century. And he says to those of us who've done that, don't you dare give up. You be full of faith until you die, and I'll give you the crown of life. How can we help you go to heaven? If there's any way, we could baptize you this very day. If you're convinced that this is what the step you need to make, this is exactly what you need to do this day. If you're an unfaithful Christian and need to come home, then this invitation song is also for you. If you need to respond to the invitation of Jesus, do so right now. As together we stand and sing. Will you come?